Luke chapter 6, verse 17a and verse 20. This is the reading of God's word. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. Verse 20. And turning his gaze toward his people, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory, thanksgiving. And Father, through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ and pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only understand your word, but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I will begin with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17b. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. In the book of Luke, we see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes and establishes the kingdom of God. All of God's promises of the Old Testament are being fulfilled. And because of it, all has been changed. From this world to heaven, from the temporary to the eternal. Jesus Christ is accomplishing the eternal salvation of his people. The Bible describes this reality in many ways. The new creation or the new exodus. And we must remember that the coming of the Lord and also the coming of the kingdom of God also means the end of this world. Thus, God's people cannot understand or know or believe anything according to the standard of this world anymore. The world has been turned upside down. We already have seen this in the praise of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 52 and 53, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed." The gospel of heaven is being preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. And from Luke chapter 6, verse 20, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches. He teaches and shows through his teaching the reality of heaven and the reality of his people who now belong to that heaven. But we already know that the reality of God's people is Jesus Christ. Whatever is true of our Lord Jesus Christ, other than him being the eternal God, is true of his people. Luke chapter 6, verse 17a, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. He prayed the whole night. And chapter 6, verse 13, "And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles." Out of many disciples, Jesus chose the 12. Verse 17 says that there was a great throng of people who had come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. Then we come to verse 20. and turning his gaze toward his disciples. Then he preaches to the people. And from verse 20, we're going to start looking at verse 20 next week. He preaches. And we call this sermon the Sermon on the Plain, because it's the on the level place. The majority of this sermon is pretty much the same as the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. The question that arises as we look at this is this. Is the Sermon on the Plain the same sermon as the Sermon on the Mount? That's the question. Are they the same sermon that was preached at the same time at the same place? And there are so many discussions on this subject, and I do my best not to get into this kind of discussion, but I will say a few things about this subject, because I believe there's just so many arguments out there. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew begins with 8 Beatitudes, whereas the Sermon on the Plain begins with 4 Beatitudes. And the sequence of the Beatitudes differ from each other. And the Sermon on the Plain, unlike the Sermon on the Mount, lists 4 woes right after the 4 Beatitudes. And the Sermon on the Mount has 107 verses covering Matthew chapters 5 through 7. But the Sermon on the Plain has just 30 verses, and it covers from Luke chapter 6:20 to Luke chapter 6:49. Thus, the Sermon on the Plain is much shorter than the Sermon on the Mount. Two sermons are much similar, but there are many differences. For example, in the Sermon on the Plain, it says, "Blessed are you who are poor." But the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Ultimately, they mean the same thing, but they are expressed in a slightly different way. The Sermon on the Plain says, "Blessed are you who hunger now." But the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." We will use the both sermons to get the better understanding of these verses. So are they the same sermon at the same time, at the same place, or two completely different sermons preached at the different times, at different places? Frankly, for us, it really doesn't matter to us. This is not a big problem for us. For us, what is important is to understand clearly what Jesus says to us in these verses. For those who say that the two sermons are the same sermon that was preached at the same time, at the same place, they say that there is only one sermon, obviously. But they say that Matthew edited the sermon according to his purpose, and Luke also edited it according to his purpose. But then again, the question arises. Why then Matthew say that Jesus went up to the mountain to preach, whereas Luke says that Jesus came down from the mountain and stood on a level place to preach? Well, these people who said they are the same sermon explains like this. The word that has been translated as a mountain in Matthew can be translated as hill. And the word that is translated as a plain can be understood as a level place in the mountain. And even though the sermon on the plain is much shorter, the sequence of the much of its content is the same as the sermon on the mount. Almost everything that we have in the sermon on the plain is in the sermon of mount. Even Matthew has edited the sermon on the mount according to his purpose. A very few things that are in the Sermon on the Plain do not appear in the Sermon on the Mount. Both sermons begin with the Beatitudes and end with the parable of building the house on the rock. And to say that both Matthew and Luke edited Jesus' sermon according to what they wanted to write does not mean that the Bible is wrong. As writers of the Bible, they could do that. We do not believe that everything that Jesus has said is in the Bible. But we do believe that even when certain things that Jesus said is not in the Bible, it is according to the work of the Holy Spirit. But the problem for us is when the scholars say that the authors of the Bible used many sayings of Jesus Christ and created an event that never happened and edited it to appear that Jesus had said those things at that event. In other words, the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain never actually happened. Matthew just kind of made it using the different sayings of Jesus and invented this event as if Jesus was actually preaching at that event. We do not agree with them. Exactly, that's my response. These kinds of arguments we cannot accept. Moreover, some scholars say that the authors of the Bible used good sayings of the time and mixed them with the sayings of Jesus Christ. So some of these things they say is not actually from Jesus. So many arguments like this. We cannot accept these kind of arguments. The Bible does not contain false things and lies. It is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Now, so far, we have looked at the argument that the Sermon on the Plain is the same sermon as the Sermon on the Mount. But at the same time, we cannot say that it is wrong to say that the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain are two completely different sermons preached by our Lord Jesus Christ at different places, at different times. The fact is that the Bible does not give us enough information for us to make a clear decision either way. And Jesus could have said the same things in two different sermons. Why not? According to our passage, big crowd came to Jesus Christ. We see many Old Testament verses being fulfilled in this event. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 21, in the last day a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob to the mighty God. Jeremiah 32 verse 37, behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, in my wrath and in great indignation, and I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. But we must remember, even though what is happening in our passage is the fulfillment of those promises of God in the Old Testament. That is the picture, of course. But the true gathering by our God is being fulfilled in a deeper level. Matthew 22 verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. So even though so many people gather, that does not mean that they're all truly Christians. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many people follow Jesus, but the most of them do not follow Jesus to the end. Luke chapter 8 verse 10, and he said, to you it has been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Jesus gathers his people, gives them the ear to hear and the eyes to see, and causes them to understand and gives them faith, and they obey. Only these will follow Jesus to the end. Jesus teaches his people even now. And as we see many people coming to Jesus, we see the reality of God's grace. The sinners are coming to Jesus. That is the picture we see in our passage. It is amazing grace. It is truly impossible for the sinners to come near to God. And yet, what do we see in our passage? Many people are coming to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 21, for you have not come to a mountain. He's speaking of the Old Testament event at the Mount Sinai. For you have not come to a mountain, like that time, that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to the darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sounds was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command. If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I'm full of fear and trembling. This was Old Testament people coming to God. Terrifying experience because they're sinners. And sinners coming to God is a terrifying experience. The Old Testament people of God could not come near to God. For a sinner to come to God is to die forever. The sinner could not endure hearing the word of God, the voice of God. The people who were hearing, they begged that no further word be spoken to them. They say, Moses, you go hear him and you come to us and say what he says. Because they could not bear hearing God's voice. But that is not what we see in Luke chapter 6. Just by seeing that, seeing what is happening in Luke chapter 6, you should be very amazed. People just don't understand. And without understanding, they come to God even on the Lord's Day, to worship Him. Without really understanding what Jesus Christ has done, they just come as if God could just accept them. You all, and me also, we all deserve to die right now. If it is not for Jesus Christ and what He has done, what makes you think that you could come to God like this and that He will receive you? people just don't understand what has been done so that you may come without fear. Do you understand what you truly deserve just by how you lived just last 6 days? You deserve to die forever because you have sinned, just like I did. And yet, what do we see in our passage? God's people freely coming to God and hearing God's voice. And they're not terrified. What is happening in our passage? So many people come near God, Jesus Christ, and hear His voice. And this is our reality of heaven. And that reality of heaven is being witnessed in our passage. You and I, we came near to God as we worship Him. Spiritually, we have come to God in heaven as we worship Him. And that is what the Bible teaches. We must believe. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You have come to all that. Brothers and sisters, as you sit there, and as you worship, and if you realize your spiritual reality, you have to understand how blessed you are. You cannot complain just because things are not going your way out there in your job or your school. You got to understand how blessed you are as you come to worship God. Even as we hear His word, we do not beg that no further word be spoken to us. To non-believers, the word of God is the word of the judgment. But to us, it is the gospel of heaven. Let us rejoice, for the kingdom of God is ours. Let us understand how blessed we are as we worship our God. If this worship is true worship and God actually accepts this worship, you are beyond blessed. And through the sermon on the plain, God witnesses to us that the new creation has been accomplished. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. The world has been turned upside down. Listen to His sermon. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Blessed are you who are poor. Did you hear that correctly? Blessed are you who are poor. For yours is the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 21. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. Are we hearing Him correctly here? Is this true? The world doesn't think so. They don't think being hungry and being poor is being blessed. But that's what the Bible says. That's what God says to you. Do you understand? The whole world has been turned upside down. You cannot think like the world anymore. The new era has come. And if you still think in terms of how the world thinks, you do not understand what has happened. You do not understand what Jesus Christ has done. Blessed are you who are poor, who hunger, who weep. And we will look at this one by one, you know, later next week and following weeks. The Old Testament people never understood these as God's blessings. In the Old Testament, the blessings were expressed in an earthly way. But in and through Jesus Christ and what He has done and accomplished, the whole world, like I say, has been turned upside down. Being poor and hungry and weeping in the Old Testament were actually a picture of God's judgment. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says, if you obey me, and I will bless you. And all the blessings that list there is a worldly blessing. And if you do not obey me, I will judge you. And all the judgment is also worldly judgment. But what does Jesus Christ declare in our passage? He's saying that the new era has come. He's saying that the world is passed away. Heaven has come. And we cannot think according to the world anymore. Because of what He has done and what He has accomplished, everything has changed. Now, being poor and hungry and weeping, Jesus tells us that they are the blessings of God. The blessings that this world will never accept, as the blessings are now true blessings. Do you understand the power in the weakness? Exaltation in humiliation. It is not the blessings in spite of the suffering. No! The suffering itself is the blessing. Do you understand what has happened? And yet so many people, even those people who go to church, they still think like the world. They ignore what Jesus Christ has accomplished. They ignore the standard of heaven. They live as if this world is everything to them. Jesus Christ has reversed the curse of God. The worldly blessings are now the common grace. Worldly blessings God gives not only to Christians, but also to non-Christians. And many, many times more, He gives more to non-Christians. They are no longer the eternal blessings of God. The true Christians no longer seek this world, but heaven. We seek Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God that He has accomplished for His people. We live as the citizens of heaven as we live our lives in this world. The life is hard. It is difficult. And so many times it's lonely. But we rejoice. Why? Because ours is the kingdom of God. Mom. we possess and we enjoy heaven and the blessings of heaven. Thus, this world will never understand us. We live a foolish life according to this world. We turn the right cheek when we are slapped on the left one. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Blessed are you when men hate you. The world has been turned upside down. You cannot live according to the worldly understanding of things. Those days are gone. The old has passed away. See, I'm talking nonsense to non-Christians. If non-Christians hear this, man, they're not going to understand what I'm saying. But are you like non-Christians? That you saying, young, what are you saying? Blessed are you when men hate you? That's what the Bible says. And through this Sermon on the Plain, Jesus will teach us the true blessings of heaven. I encourage you to pay attention to this sermon. We will begin next week from verse 20. We will look at the Sermon on the Plain verse by verse. But before we do that, let us think about one thing here. And we will end today's sermon with that. Unlike the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain has four woes. And let me read that to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Completely opposite of how the world understands. If you're rich, God says, woe to you. Now we see the same thing, same teaching elsewhere in the Bible. These four woes are similar to woes that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. And Luke chapter 6, verse 39 says, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? Now that saying is also spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ concerning the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. But in our passage, Luke tells us that the Sermon on the Plain, which contains these four woes, was preached to the disciples of Jesus Christ. But in elsewhere in the Bible, these woes, Jesus spoke to Pharisees. Meaning that Jesus speaks the same warning that he gave to Pharisees to his disciples. Some of the followers of Jesus were pretty much the same as the Pharisees. Many in the church today are the same as the citizens of this world. They just come to church. That's about it. They live just like non-Christian. Worship, or even Lord's Day, Holy Day, doesn't mean anything to them. For you, like Super Bowl, you cannot watch it because it's on the Lord's Day. For four world, it really doesn't matter. They rather watch it than come to church, actually. And they think we're stupid by living like this. All we want to do is obey God as much as possible. And if that makes us stupid, we'll be stupid. Look at what is happening here. Why four walls to the church people, so to speak? Why? And that's the point that I want you to think about. Why does Jesus give four walls to the church? People who are following him. Why? Because many in the church have become just like the world. There's no distinction between the two. Not anymore. The worldly blessings were a type pointing to the true blessings of heaven. But even after Jesus Christ brought in heaven, which means that we are no longer able to understand anything according to the standard of this world, there are many who are in the church whose boasting is all about being rich and their bellies being filled and being praised by the world. To them and to us, Jesus preaches this sermon on the plain, including the wolves. And we need to be very careful here. I mean, if we are so other than the world, then why is there need for warning to God's people? But just the fact that Jesus speaks these things to his people, we need to be very careful. We cannot follow the world, brothers and sisters. Even if you have to lose out on so many things, we cannot follow the world. And believe me, at the end, you are not missing out on anything. For ours is the kingdom of God. And let us hear and understand and believe and obey his sermon to bring glory and honor to our God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I told you this before, but you and I, we are endangered species.
the Christians who would follow the Bible is disappearing. They don't care what the Bible says. Even though they go to church. Keeping the Lord's Day holy, they think it's for all Old Testament time, all long ago. Even though if you study church history, it only has been less than 100 years that people, church, stopped observing it. Brothers and sisters, yes, we are endangered species when it comes to Christians. But let us show what the Bible actually says. And by obeying the Bible, let us show what true Christians actually look like. Yes, it might cause some, you know, inconveniences in your life, but it's okay. Or it might cause you to suffer, but it's okay. It might cause you to be lonely, but it's okay. Why? Ours is the kingdom of God. And ours is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and Him alone is enough. More than enough. And you will see that when you go to heaven, how enough He is. But I pray to God that God will bless us, that even before we get to heaven, that because He blessed us with faith, that we will know even now how enough Jesus Christ is. That's my prayer for you and for me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for giving us Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Thank You that we are able to possess Him and His kingdom even now. Possess Him and enjoy Him now and forever. And Father, He is truly enough for us. As we look at the Sermon on the Plain starting next week, give us the true understanding. Give us faith that we may live by that faith. We thank You, God. And we love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.